Welcome to Wine Country BC, news, reviews, and things to do with wine in British Columbia. This week's podcast, we look at the five designated viticultural areas of British Columbia, and we taste a mystery wine from one of those areas. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wine Country BC. And you can't see them right now, but they are all laughing. And the first person who is laughing, or was, you stopped, is Maya. Hello, Maya.
I'll be good.
And we also have Amber.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Thank you.
And my name is Luke, and welcome to Wine Country BC. Today, we are talking about the five viticultural areas, the designated viticultural areas, the DVAs of BC. So it's all about DVAs of BC. If we can add any more acronyms to that, we will try. So that's our goal, to try and get more acronyms here. Okay. There are five viticultural areas and are designated DVAs in BC, and they're all quite distinctly different, which is a good thing. We're going to talk about all of them. Let's start with the ones that are closest to the water. On the west coast.
That would be the DVA of Vancouver Island and then the separate one of the Gulf Islands. And there are North and South Gulf Islands, but they don't differentiate between the two as of yet.
Do you think they will?
I think maybe down the road, yeah. As there gets to be more wineries, then they might be able to justify having separate ones because their climates are quite different. The North ones have a lot more sort of cooler, rainier temperatures and climates, and the south ones are almost sub-Mediterranean, having really droughty summers and you know,
not a lot of rainfall
in the winter but not in the summer. So but
on Vancouver Island, is there any distinction, or is it mostly all sort of clustered together?
It's mostly clustered together until you get into the soils. The best growing area is the Cowichan Valley, which has a lot more sort of loamy, lighter, freer draining soil, but the South Vancouver Island is pretty heavy clay. Anyone out there who's listening to us tonight and has ever tried to garden knows about the blue clay of Vancouver Island, and it is a real challenge when you're trying to garden because it doesn't give you very good drainage.
Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to on Vancouver Island?
I'll shout out to my mom.
All right.
Classic.
So hi, Amber's mom.
Hi. So Vancouver Island is actually quite interesting. Well, I'll sort of lump them together when I talk about their climates. They are almost sort of like Bordeaux in their climate, and they actually share a latitude with Bordeaux. And so some of the similarities are that they are coastal. So Bordeaux is actually right on the seaside as well.
So marine climate.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty temperate. And what that means is cold is not the limiting factor in the winter. They often have fairly moderate temperatures, not often going below zero for a long period of time. And they're usually on the wetter side, so not a lot of frost damage and things like that. But they also have fairly cool summers, never really cracking above 25 for a long period of time. So the challenge can often be ripening things like reds. So generally the wines you want to look for when you go and visit Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands are whites, and they do really well with the Pinots, including Pinot Noir to some extent, and their aromatic whites and Germanic varietals. So things that are really turning out great from the islands are things like Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, some Pinot Noir, not all of it, but pick and choose. There are some really good ones. And the Germanic ones, so things like Segre Bay, Müller Thurgau, and Gewürztraminer are very good. And then there's a grape that not being grown in a lot of other places called Ortega. And I think that is going to be one of the most promising grapes for the area. It's a white, and it's very fruity, very floral, and in a lot of other areas it doesn't have a lot of acid, but because it is so cool out there, it does get that acidity, and it's just a delicious grape. And Salt Spring Island Vineyards is producing a fantastic one, and I haven't had a chance to try too many more. Cherry Point up in Cowichan, produces a really nice Ortega as well. So, and the fun thing about wine touring on the islands is there's a lot of other great artisanal food producers. So great cheese places, good bakeries. So be sure to visit all those when you go out to the islands and you'll have a great little trip.
It's more than just wine out there.
There is,
there's lots of things. Well, that's good. Okay, moving east. To the Fraser Valley.
Fraser Valley, yes. Just an hour from Vancouver, you have lovely Langley, where you will find beautiful rich soils and basically the main agricultural land surrounding.
It's a pretty
Vancouver.
Farming area,
it's,
too, it isn't
it? All farms. When you drive off the sides of the highway, it's nothing but farms. And they have, well, six wineries that I could find and four of which I've been to recently. And
which ones are those?
Those ones are, well, they had, we'll start with the two I haven't been to, Vistadoro and Lotus Land. Mm. But they also have Township 7, who have a location in the Okanagan, and their original location out in Langley.
And they were in Langley first, yeah.
They were in Langley first. Yeah. And they have a lovely little wine shop there. They also have Domaine de Chaberton, which is a fairly old winery.
And just around the corner from Township 7.
Fairly close as well, yeah. And the Fort Wine Company, which is Fruit Wines, mm-hmm. and they have killer labels. They have the nicest labels I think I've ever seen. I gotta say, I was in complete awe and admiration when I saw their labels. And their naming, everything is really well done there. And last but not least, Neck of the Woods, which used to be Glenugie.
Oh,
renamed
okay,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think under different ownership.
Yeah.
And
I thought they were going to be called real estate wines.
I found that, but when I went, they told me that they were called Neck of the Woods.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I guess they...
See how that pans out.
Changed their minds, or I don't know. But it was Neck of the Woods, and it's an awfully nice building.
Same building?
Enormous, big. No, I don't think so. I think it was a newish building.
Because the one that Glenugie had was quite big.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was quite a large, long, narrow, not narrow, but long tasting room.
With a sort of, I think, a vaulted ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't
small windows on the top.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It's the same building as Glenugie.
Well, it was nifty anyway. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a great wine shop.
Yeah, and very nice tasting staff there. So
was it? Oh, good. Right on. Shout out to the tasting staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Good job, guys. Few things about the Fraser Valley. The thing is, you can visit all those wineries in one day. I mean, assuming you have a DD, you can safely go to six wineries in a day and make a day out of it. Go in the morning. Start at, 11 o'clock or something, hit a couple, have lunch, because it's the Fraser Valley. It's all farmland. There's little places to eat. There's Langley right there.
Yeah.
And also you can do other things. Like they have all these farms around, so you can do like berry picking, come home with lots of nice veggies and fruits and the whole deal. Go to the restaurant at Domaine de Chaberton at the end of the day. And
Have you been to the restaurant there?
I have only eyeballed it.
Oh, me too. I haven't
it looked
been.
Lovely.
I know, and it smells really good.
It smelled really good, and the menu looked really, really good too. Yeah.
I would say, because I have been to Lotus Land, and it's quite farther down 16th Avenue. I think it's somewhat out of the way, but it is worth going to. At least when I went, I had a good time there. It's a small place, but I found it quite interesting. They had just changed their name. They used to be called A Very Fine Winery, or Avery. I can never figure out if it was supposed to be Avery Fine Winery or how they edit it. It's one of those puns that looks better written. but they changed it to Lotus Land, and they did the new labels at that time as well. But it was when I was there, they had two labels going at the same time. But they were both really very good. I was quite impressed.
Yeah, definitely. For those of us who don't leave the Okanagan too often and try any wineries elsewhere. It's worth going out there. It's really nice, actually. Yeah, beautiful wine shops, great staff, great wines to try. Although, if you are the type, like me, who likes to try local produce and locally made products, you need to be careful in Langley to ask for the wines that are grown in Langley. Because a lot of these wineries have partnerships and deals with the Okanagan Valley, and they also buy grapes from the Okanagan Valley and make wines from Okanagan Valley grapes.
And that's the case with even the Gulf Islands. And like if you're visiting a winery in Vancouver Island and they have Syrah and Cabernet Sauvignon,
exactly.
Chances are really good that it's not from there.
On the wet coast, that stuff's not going to grow.
No.
Yeah. It'll never ripen. Not with our summers.
Did you find any wineries in Vancouver?
None.
None at all.
None that I could find. I heard there was some custom U-brew type things going on. But...
There's an ice wine. There's one that only makes ice wine, and they're in Richmond, and the name is totally escaping me now. I can't remember, and there's a Garage's style winery in New Westminster as well. Again, the name is escaping me. I should have looked that up, but there are a few that I know, and Blue Heron, I think, which is in Pitt Meadows, which is a fruit winery, I believe. I can't remember now, but there's a few that you can get to. So even if you are in Vancouver and you don't want to leave, you know, because Langley's kind of far, not far out. It's an hour and a bit.
It's an hour drive.
But it's an hour on the highway, and
which
sometimes
flies by.
Having sat at the Portman Bridge numerous times, sometimes it doesn't always fly. But but yeah, it's worth checking out. There are some in Vancouver as well.
The thing is, it's really worth asking for those locally produced wines, because the aromatic whites, just like in the islands, are stunning. Yeah. Like Domaine de Chambertin's Sigiribe was beautiful. It was the best I've ever had.
I'm still tasting their 2003 Gewurztraminer.
All of their whites were just
so good.
Beautiful, amazing, grown right there.
Yeah. They grow I don't know if they grow their.
Well, I don't know about
there,
your Gewurz, but I know that specifically asked for everything.
Oh, good.
I believe there was an Ortega as well.
Yeah.
All of it was delicious.
Oh, good. Right on. Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. First drink of the day. Okay. Moving on then from there, what do we have? Similkameen Valley, which I can talk about a little bit because I've worked at a vineyard that has been in the Similkameen. The Similkameen I always found was really very, there was sort of extreme. There was never any really sort of normal days. It was always either completely windy and cold or scorching and hot. And there was no sort of in between, but it was there's some really, really intriguing wines coming out of there. And we were talking before, and we think that that's one of the areas that has sort of the most growth potential at this point. But it is a very new area, and a lot of the wineries there haven't really been around for longer than, like, what's the oldest winery there? It's probably St. Laszlo, I guess, which is from, I don't know, it's been 10 years maybe.
I think most of the wineries there are less than a decade.
Yeah, easily, I would say. And then some of them, which are getting really good names, have been really there only doing vintages for maybe the last 4 or 5 years. But it's quite different in terms of its soil. It's a little, loamier, you know, a little
it's
rockier.
Pretty fertile area.
But not in the same way that like Langley would be, for instance.
No, that's, you know.
Because, I mean, even just driving down the valley, you can see it. It's just valley wall, side to side. And it's a narrow valley, too, compared to the Okanagan. It's quite a narrow valley. But just a lot of, it's just a lot of really, really light sort of beige stones. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look on the vineyards as you're driving by, and it doesn't change from the color of the hillside. It's still sort of it's just the stones have fallen down the mountainside, and there they are. Which I don't know, gives a lot of the wines that I've tried from there kind of a minerality, which is really interesting. It's quite a windswept area, so I know that they have a lot of wind damage on some of their vines, and it gets quite cold there as well in the winter. Like, it's quite extreme in terms of temperature. But some of the wines that I've tasted there, I've been to the Seven Stones Winery. Beautiful Syrah Pinot Noir. They've had a Meritage, I think.
Don't forget the Rosé.
And the Rosé, yes.
Rosé was heavenly.
Was it? Oh, you like that, yeah.
The Chardonnay there is really good.
Yeah. And Lawrence Herder has Herder Vineyards, which has a nice big Meritage called Josephine, which is quite nice. And the Pinot Gris, they have a really nice Pinot Gris. Have you tried their Pinot Gris? No? I enjoyed it.
One of the first Pinot Gris I tried in the Okanagan.
Was it?
Yeah, I think I tried the 06 vintage.
Mm-hmm.
It was just juicy.
Mm.
Like peach juice.
Peach juice?
Delicious.
Good. All right. So definitely an area to look out for, and one that isn't as far as it looks on the map from Penticton or from Kelowna. You can totally reach that in a day. It makes a great day trip. And again, like, if you have a good designated driver, definitely worth the trip from Penticton to go and see. There's enough wineries there around there now. There's probably about a dozen now that you can do. You can spend the whole day there and see every winery in the region. It's got a, and you can see it when they're sort of in their growth stage, you know? It's sort of the beginning. It would be like visiting the Okanagan in the early 90s, you know, or the 80s where they were sort of just, you know, still
better.
Young. Well, yeah, better because they can profit from the knowledge that the Okanagan has gained, really. You know, there's just a lot more knowledge there.
And don't forget the two fruit wineries.
Oh, yeah?
At least the two that I know of. The Forbidden Fruit Winery.
Yeah.
And Rustic Roots, both of which are producing some amazing award-winning wines.
They are good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. There's a lot of them there that I haven't tried that I'm really curious about. I've wanted to go and do a tour of this Milkameen forever. And
it's
I
worth
haven't been
it.
Able to. Yeah.
It's really worth it.
Can't find a designated driver, though.
Try the Persuasion at Forbidden Fruit.
The Persuasion?
They have, I think it was an apple one at Rustic Roots.
Yeah.
That were both really, really stellar and award winners.
Cool. And so we end off with the Okanagan, Aaron?
The OKV.
The OK, well, no.
The Okanagan Valley.
The Okanagan Valley.
The Okanagan Valley, I think, is the largest viticulture area in British Columbia. It spans from the Shuswap area, Salmon Arm, and Tappan area in the north, down about 100 clicks to the American border in Soyuz. And... where should I start? The North Okanagan, again, like the Lower Mainland and the Gulf Islands, they do a lot of aromatic whites because of the
Larch Hills has an Ortega. When you were mentioning mm-hmm. Ortega, I was thinking when Amber was mentioning Ortega, I was thinking that Larch Hills is probably one of the only ones around here that in the Okanagan, anyways, that does that variety.
Yeah, they are one of the only few. I've been pretty impressed by a lot of their wines too. They're one of the more far north wineries in the Okanagan, and I believe they are also the highest elevation winery in the Okanagan Valley. So pretty unique area for Okanagan wines, because a lot of what people come to expect from the Okanagan is, you know, a lot of reds and whites, but more reds are produced towards the south. As you move south down from the in the Shuswap area, you come to one of the you got Lake Country and Vernon, which has some of the larger wines in the valley, like a Grey Monk. A lot of people are familiar with Grey Monk. They do a lot of aromatic whites as well. You know, we've covered and talked about them quite a bit in the in past podcasts. But they also have neighbors in that area, Arrowleaf, which again did a lot of aromatic whites and some softer style reds. Then you move to Kelowna, which is one of the largest
biggest
towns.
Wineries, yeah.
Yeah, they've got some large wineries there. They are one of the bigger towns in the Okanagan. They are the biggest town in the Okanagan. So there is a lot to do in the Kelowna area. They've got a good handful of wineries that are worth visiting. Cedar Creek, Summer Hill, St. Hubertus, Tantalus.
Yeah.
And so you can visit a lot of wineries that make a day of it there.
You can also do a day trip out of Kelowna to Soyuz. I mean,
easily.
I've done it. I've done that.
For people who want to hit a lot of the wineries in an area, you can easily do a day trip in Kelowna.
Yeah.
You know, Kelowna's got a lot of great places to eat for all different budgets. They've got a couple new wine bars in town now too, which I'm interested in trying out. I haven't been to any of the wine bars there, but that quite interests me. And then the west side of Kelowna, being a Pinot Noir fan, I wanted to say that there's in the Smilkameen, there's some great Pinots coming out of there. And on the west side of Kelowna, there's a few wineries that do some excellent Pinot Noir. Quail's Gate, Mount Boucherie Estate.
Yeah.
You know, even Rollingdale. I visited Rollingdale. He's got a really stellar Pinot, too. It's really very good.
We should mention that when we talk about all five of these, I mean, because we've talked about the Okanagan a lot, right? Most of our podcasts have basically been about the Okanagan. But because we're talking about all five of the podcast, not the all five of the DVAs here, what is it about the Okanagan that's sort of different? And we should mention that 95% of all grape production in BC comes from the Okanagan Valley. And so, like we mentioned before, if you're going to get ice wine from a vineyard in Vancouver Island, it's not going to be made there simply because it just doesn't freeze consistently enough to do that. So it's going to be from the Okanagan, same with their Meritage or Cabernet or anything like that. But how would you compare it to like not soil or anything like that, but just sort of style wise in terms of compared to other regions? Is it?
I think the biggest difference with the Okanagan Valley compared to the other regions is that especially in the South, we do a lot more red grape production. Most of the red grape production in all of BC is in the Oliver Soyuz area. There's a lot of vineyard plantings of red varietals down there, Merlot, Cabernet, Syrah, and even some other oddball late ripening varieties like Malbec, and even like a tiny bit of Zinfandel and a lot of these big meaty reds. That's the biggest difference. As you move south, you know, from West Bank down to even to Naramata, where there's some marginal plantings of some red varietals there, to Oliver and Soyuz, which is a desert, which is the hottest spot in all of Canada, I believe. Still.
Yeah. Although subject to change, I guess.
Global
warming or climate change. I guess you can't call it global warming anymore. You just call it climate change. On that note, anyways, so is there, if you had to sort of, if we had to each go around and say that, which, what does that region that we looked at do well? Is Vancouver Island, you mentioned, Amber, that the strengths of the Vancouver Island Gulf wineries is the Pinots, the Germanic whites, the aromatic whites. Would you say that would be, was there anything else that I'm forgetting?
People do experiment with other things, but I would say those are the things that seem to be done well consistently from winery to winery. There are some people, you know, using some hybrids and things like that.
But we still don't know, I guess. We're still in this discovery phase.
It is still in the discovery phase, yeah. And it's more to do with good viticultural practices right now rather than good winemaking, because just the key there is getting things to ripen and avoiding disease because it is so wet there.
That's
so
true, yeah.
It's more on the good viticulture right now. So there, you know, people who are doing good wine on the coast are usually good in the vineyard too.
Okay. And Maya in the Fraser Valley?
I would have to agree with most of what Amber said.
Yeah.
Sound viticultural practices are what get anything to stay alive in the Lower Mainland, basically, because you're so susceptible to rot, to powder and mildew, to everything else the rain wants to bring about, that the best wines that you can get out of there are the ones that are really well looked after in the vineyard.
Yep.
And generally, those aromatic whites.
I would say for the Similkameen that it's going to be some of the red varieties that are earlier ripening. You know, I think Cab Franc could be really good out there. Same with Merlot, if it can, you know, I'm not sure Cab Sauv would do terribly well out there. Just, again, it's just the extremes of the season, I think, in that valley. But, and then the Okanagan, Aaron?
I think it's the same, too, to expand on what the girls were talking about. You know, there's a lot of strange pockets, like, say, on the Naramata Bench, that can do certain things, and some that are have stronger points with different varietals, and just knowing your piece of land and doing some research, you know, for a couple of years before planting is what really is going to determine what you're going to do well. And the same within the South too. You know, people have gotten very excited because they can ripen a lot of these popular red varietals, and I've tasted some beautiful expressions of Cabernet and Syrah, but they're susceptible to the winters too, like on the valley floor. You know,
it's down to -20.
It gets really it gets really cold, and the air doesn't move. And you know, maybe we won't be able to do these varieties forever. Maybe it's smarter to do others. But at the same time, I've tasted some beautiful wines that turned out great from these big reds. So
good. Okay, so we have a wine. I've poured it around here, and we are tasting this blind. I know what it is, but nobody else does, because somebody had to buy it. Anyways, this is, because we're all largely Okanagan-oriented people, at least for, we all work in the wine trade here, that tasting it blind would sort of help us give us a more critical evaluation of this. So let's give it a smell.
A whiff, a sniff, what?
A bit of whiff.
Do you want to describe the color for us?
Please do. Please do.
It is very light. This is a very light. Now, this is not a rosé. I'll give you that. This is a red
wine.
Thank
you. I was wondering.
It's very light. Yeah. And
but it's not quite a red
it's
either.
It's got like a tinge of almost
it's
a brown,
kind of a brick.
Yeah. Rusty brick kind
it's
of.
It's kind of a brick color, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Gamay.
What are we getting on the nose?
It's got a lot of earthy complexity, and it's a nice, bright, fresh strawberry.
I got a big hunk of bacon.
Big hunk of bacon.
There's a lot of bacon on this.
Yes.
The bacon, sure.
Meatiness.
It's a big, meaty.
It's like smoked meaty kind of quality.
Yeah.
Like
smokehouse.
Like a,
I know it sounds gross, but almost like smoke, but like kind of raw meat kind of vibe. I don't know. It's funny.
Like when you pull the bacon out bacon. Before you.
Yeah, like when before you, pull, you, before you fry it. That smell. And then, yeah, the strawberry earthy like, touch of like grassy.
Kind of straw.
Cranberry
yeah.
sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, a little cranberry.
Yeah, absolutely cranberry. I wrote on the paper.
Apple. This is complex. I find there's lots of stuff in here. This is kind of cool.
It's got a really nice nose for sure.
I'm sure you haven't tasted it yet, but let's try it. Give it a wing.
Definitely some assertive acids.
I'm going to stick by my previous statement of cran apple.
Cran apple, yeah.
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 Cran apple.
I'm surprised I'm getting that crisp apple juiciness.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting
that. Completely confounded by this.
It's
red.
Super light, too. Really light on the palate.
So if you had to guess where you think it was from.
But so light on the color.
First of all, is this a good wine? Do you like this wine? Would you buy this?
It tastes like bacon.
It does taste like bacon.
It tastes like cran apple and then bacon. So basically this tastes like breakfast and I'm
comfortable
with that.
It tastes like brunch. It's brunch wine. Yeah.
Brunch
this is not Okanagan wine, though.
No.
This is brunch wine. You don't think this is Okanagan wine?
No.
It's,
I don't think you can get that much bacon flavor into an Okanagan
wine. It could be, but
it's intriguing, eh?
It's heavy on the bacon on the finish. I'm astounded at how long that lingers.
But is this a good, would you say this is a good quality wine?
How old is this wine?
A couple of years?
Yeah,
it's not old.
Because it's already got quite a...
There's a bit of a rim to it.
It looks like it's older than that.
I can check the vintage after, but it's an 06 or 7 or something.
I think, personally, it is a little heavy on the bacon flavor, I say.
Do we like it for what it is, though? Is it... I mean, if we know... Because it's obviously not... It's not Okanagan. So, honest opinions.
I do like it. I think it has its place. It's very light, and it's something that I would drink in the summertime, maybe as an aperitif or with like a pizza even. But really, it's quite light. I don't think it's a terribly great food wine or anything, but easy drinking on some afternoon with friends just passing around. With something very light maybe, but...
Okay. Amber?
Probably lighter than my taste. I do like a nice, light, juicy, fruity Pinot Noir, but this to me is just too light in body and too strong in the acid department.
Okay. Maya?
I agree with Amber on the acid and body front, and the color I find completely disquieting because it's just so, so pale. But frankly, just on the palate, I feel that there's quite an imbalance happening. There's this high acid, and there is, the fruitiness is there, but then the finish is just pure smoky bacon, and it lingers and lingers, and it just outweighs everything else.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would drink this one.
A classic Canadian pizza.
Yeah. I think the smokiness is the only thing sort of giving it some body, actually.
If you were going to make some nice, like, wine-based pasta sauce, you could use this.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to use any bacon.
Yeah. I have to say that I find this wine really intriguing, actually. I'm not sure. I think I agree it is a little imbalanced, but I think the acidity, the high acidity is really good for food. That I disagree with Aaron that it is a good food wine or that it would be better with food because it is quite, it does have that quite a high acidity to it. I'm not sure what I would pair it with
maybe
because it would have to be
idea.
Well, yeah, exactly. Pizza with
pizza
like
sauce,
Italian sausage and
pizza.
Like the meat lovers pizza with bacon.
It kind of reminds me of that, you know, but there's not a lot of foods I could pair this with like soft cheese. Like I like white wines with a lot of you know, softer cheeses, and this would be fine with it. I think it's a bit light for many foods.
Yeah.
Like the body is lacking. There's not much on the palate, but it's got a great nose and it's got a good finish.
That's what I was shocked about was that I just found it. I saw a light wine in the glass and I thought, okay, you know, what could be to this, you know, but there's lots of stuff. I found it intriguing. And the more I smelled it, I was like, oh, okay, But I do agree. It's not the most balanced wine in the world. No.
I have a feeling it's from the coast.
Yeah, any guesses? Because
it doesn't hit the ripeness of a red, and that makes me think of some reds from the island and things like that.
From the island? Which island?
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
It's Saturna.
Saturna.
Is it?
Yeah.
Saturna. Oh, I do too.
Oh.
Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, 07. Sorry, 07.
This is Pinot Noir.
It's Pinot Noir 07.
Yeah, I haven't tried that in a couple years.
It had some sort of common notes with Pinot Noir, with Gamay.
Well,
with
the
some
gamey quality,
I've
the
tried,
bacon fat quality.
I couldn't figure it all together.
The bacon fat, the quality, that's Pinot Noir, the gaminess, the red
get
fruit,
gaminess.
Cranberry.
I get just nothing but bacon. But
yeah, it's a lot of bacon. It's heavy on the bacon.
It's really heavy on the
bacon.
I'm still tasting bacon.
It's going to really weird out some of our listeners. They're just like, bacon? Bacon what?
Bacon wine.
Are
just
you
like
for
there's
real?
Bacon
I think
infused
all of
vodka,
our male listeners are
going to
run out and buy this wine.
I love bacon.
I think it's a good pizza. I think this would be excellent with a pizza wine. You know, like excellent with pizza. Yeah, totally.
Luke, you're making me hungry.
I'm hungry now, too. And I just had dinner.
I've had it a couple of years ago. I am familiar with it, which is why I think I know. I guessed it because I had a 2005 vintage, and it was a little fuller body, though still very light, and it had that bacon, it had that earthy kind of, I don't know, it's almost like sea salt. I can like smell the ocean in it somehow, which sounds strange. Maybe.
Well, could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did get to know it fairly well, over the course of an afternoon. Yeah. So.
Coming back to you, is it?
It's blurry, but it's
coming back. You never know, it's a bit blurry.
No.
Okay, well, this has been Wine Country BC's look at the DVAs of BC. Thank you very much for tasting, Aaron.
Oh, no trouble.
Amber?
My pleasure.
All right, Maya?
Ciao.
Hey, have a good one. Enjoy your wine responsibly. And buy your designated driver a bottle at every winery you go to. I guarantee you'll get more designated drivers that way. Cheers. Enjoy.